Podcast. My name is Reverend Kathy Altman. I'm the associate pastor here, and I had the privilege of interviewing Joe and Maria Tarasuk, who are the founders of Crossroads Freedom Center in Iamsville, Maryland. Addiction grips so many in our community, and Crossroads works with men who are suffering, some of which have been incarcerated, some of which have lost everything. And they are there to help pick up the pieces and share God's love in a very special way. And so here is my interview then with the founders of Crossroads Freedom Center in Iamsville, Maryland. I'm here today with Joe and Maria Tarasuk, who are the founders and leaders of Crossroads Freedom Center in Iamsville, Maryland. And we are just thrilled to be able to speak with them about their ministry at that center, how things got started there, and the work that they're doing today, and how we as a church can support them, but also how anyone can help and support this vital ministry in our community. Welcome, Joe and Maria. Thank you so much for joining me today. So I just kind of wanted to get a little bit of a history of, you know, how Crossroads got started. Maybe what was your inspiration for this? You all are the founders, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So why don't you tell me just a little bit about the history of this center and start there.
Well, I guess it really started about 35 years ago when I got incarcerated, and God took me through the steps of first how what it means to surrender to Christ, and then what can happen to you when you do really surrender with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, with all your strength, what God can do with you. And that's really where it started. I went through a series of steps and spiritual growth, and then really realized during this incarceration of what freedom means, and you know, really got a real good understanding on being able to take men through that series of events, and we call it, there's four key words: hope, God, second chance, and freedom. You know, how do we get a man that's totally in addiction and doesn't understand Christ, and you know, has no money, has no friends, has no family, doesn't have a job, you know, just down on the lowest he can get? How do we bring him back to life and show him how important he is to Christ? And that is really what we have to do, because we've all been guaranteed a new life, but learning how to walk in a new life and not feel the pain and the guilt and all the shame from our past. Mm-hmm. How do we separate that so they could really really learn how to discern on their own and get the keys to being in freedom and having a new life? That's kind of the spiritual part. It took about 15 years to understand my calling and what God has showed me that my purpose is, and Crossroads happens to be that purpose. And then searching for property, it was quite a journey. Maria and I came together. We both did ministry at Church of Redeemer in Gaithersburg, Celebrate Recovery. She did the women's ministry and I did the men's ministry under some other leaders that kind of helped guided us and really showed us what God could do with us together. My first wife passed of an overdose, she died of unforgiveness, but the opiates killed her. I always say that. Marie and I, God kind of helped us come together and with this vision. And 12 years ago, we purchased the property. Now let you talk about it.
I was going to say, people often ask us, like, ask me, when you married Joe, did you know what you were getting into? Right. And the truth is, I did. Like, at the time when we started dating, Joe didn't have the Crossroads property. He was still in that phase of looking for a place. But he poured his heart out to me and told me what his vision was and what he wanted to do. So, you know, that seed started, and then I would say it was about a year, almost exactly a year after we were married, that we purchased the Crossroads property where we are now in Imesville, Maryland, and started all of the renovations to get it up to where it is today.
Awesome. So this was an existing farm? Is that what it was? Or
it was known as Gabriel's Inn. A lot of people, if any of your listeners have been in the Frederick area for a while, you may remember Gabriel's Inn used to be a French restaurant. Prior to that, it was actually a sanitarium for men and women, particularly women. And then it was the restaurant, and then we purchased it and began all the renovations to turn it into the recovery center.
Yeah. It was a bank foreclosure, so it had been everybody was afraid to invest in it because it was such in bad shape. It was looked like it was unrepairable, but it was a dream come true. I was at a men's retreat in Gettysburg on a Saturday, and I was asking God, I'd worked on about three different properties to try to purchase, and God kept the door shut. And then I realized after Marie and I got married, the foundation of building a ministry together, if husband and wife aren't one together, he didn't release that because he knew the challenges that were coming. And he really waited until me and Maria really were united to handle all the pieces of putting a ministry together. And it didn't come with any directions. And then going back to the retreat I was in Gettysburg, Saturday night, I went to a prayer line and I was asking God, please tell me what's going on, and I didn't get a word or no inspiration. And then next morning, a pastor woke up and said, God woke him up that night and said, you're going to get this ministry. And he gave me a list, like the tabernacle, about an hour long of all the things that I had to do exactly like God wanted. That was Saturday, and another pastor called me Sunday that was in the real estate business, said, I found your property.
Oh, wow.
So that's how, and then when we came up here, I would have bought the property without even looking at it, tell you the truth. I was hands on it, and it was a dream come true. Everybody thought I was crazy, but Maria hung in here, and she started trusting me. It took about a year for her to say, well, he must really be listening to God. So God really put that together, us together, and also the ministry. And today it's been 12 years since we purchased the property. And it's been an amazing challenge, but it's been an amazing reward of seeing men find a new life. And, we planted a lot of seeds. Not every man matures immediately. Sometimes it takes years, but we've certainly done our best to plant as many seeds as possible. But we do have quite
working full time at another job. I work in the schools, in a school system.
Okay.
So my work has been not quite as hands-on as Joe's, certainly, but my role has been more of the administrative support with bookkeeping and things like that. I also help with a lot of the gardening and the kind of, we have 16 acres and so some large gardens. And so I've done a lot of support with that and in the kitchen, things like that.
Awesome.
And I must say, if it wasn't for Marita, financially being able to get the support so I can do what I'm doing, it wouldn't exist, because we are just at the beginning stages of getting church support and people finally can see the vision, because it's easy to talk about a vision, but until it's visible for people, it makes them more comfortable to invest or to support what we're doing. So we're really at the tip of the iceberg for where we're heading. And I'm just gonna jump in from where Maria is. I'm kind of mentoring a couple young men that we're hoping will be able to take my spot and and
for our staff.
Our staff, and really, this is as hard as it is to grab hold of. This is really for the next generation, because there's so many foundational pieces being built right now, and the fruit is plentiful from what we've done, but where we want to go and possibly do a women's ministry and a vocation center. There's a lot of pieces in this big vision that have really haven't been developed, but we had to get the foundation first and really get the support we need. But now we're in a place to, I hope, you know, God opens the door more for us to get more support.
I would say too that Joe's role has really changed in the last couple of years. It has been shifting, I should say. Where originally, as we were, our focus was just getting our space, the space here, the buildings renovated and livable. You know, he was a lot of hands on just managing that construction piece. And now that we were several years in now to like full time ministry, we have a full men's house. It's almost always full. He's just been able to shift more to really what his heart is, which is to minister. And so not only just ministering with the men, meeting with them regularly, guiding, you know, the work that the Bible studies and the different programs that they're in and helping them find jobs. We now have staff. We have two full-time staff, one part-time staff. And Joe meets with them regularly to train them up to be able to do that same sort of mentoring within that vision that we have for how to minister to men in addiction with a lens on Christ.
It's a wonderful discipleship model that you have. I'm just in awe of what you've been able to do. Just tell me some just specifics. How many men do you normally have to call it a full house and right now? And I think there's a goal to expand that a little too.
Well, we balance, it's about 8 full-time and sometime we're a couple over and sometime we're a couple under. So we really have 8 is what the county will allow us right now. And we're in the rezoning process right now. You know, and first we have to deal with the septic system and that's the big hurdle, getting that all refurnished and bring it up to code, which we've done with all the building and the sprinkler system. We've done everything up to code as they've asked us so far. Even the commercial kitchen is all up to code. So all the buildings on the property are up to code. Really, this next phase, I would say, is probably between 6 and 12 months to get us up to get us to a large group home, and then we could probably have 16 full-time residents, men here, and that would be the capacity of the building.
Okay. So for your residents then, what does a typical day look like? I know that's not one of the questions I left you, but I'm just going with the conversation here. You know?
No, it's great that you asked some good questions. So a typical day is if a man is here, we have 3 phases, phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3. Phase 1 is usually a 30-day program. Just to get them settled in. And then after 30 days, we open the door if they're making progress to get a job. And we kind of continue to minister to a guy as they mature and get a job so they can start handling life situations with a team around them. But the typical day in the morning is we start out with a Bible study. A devotion in the morning at 8:30, and then the guys get an hour to eat, and then we usually work around the property. There's gardening, there's a thousand things to do. They learn how to stay busy and really think about the Lord as they're retraining themselves for life with the Lord. 12 o'clock they eat lunch, 1 o'clock there's another class. It's called Walk of Repentance. There's a year program that a Walk of Repentance, learning how to repent and learn how to change their direction of thinking. And that happens at 1 o'clock every day. And then Monday nights, we have a gentleman comes in at 7 o'clock to 8:30 and works with the men again, a very strong, loving man that really challenges them. Tuesday night, they go to a prayer service. Wednesday night, they do a Celebrate Recovery Step class. Thursday night, they do a class called Every Man a Warrior. Friday night, they have off. And then Saturday, we usually do a Bible study during the day and then go to church on Sunday. So the week is, you know, pretty full. They have homework to do. You know, we check their homework. We just see how they're moving forward. And so really helping them learn how to put God first and everything. And that's a big process because they've met most, even people at church have a hard time putting God first and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a guy from where they've been, really retraining everything is what takes place. And just learning how to have a relationship with Jesus. So.
Okay. So what I'm hearing, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm hearing is you're helping these men in every area of health, physical, mental, and spiritual health.
Yes.
And so many of us, you know, kind of get out of balance with right. those things. And I expect you have a lot of men in particular that come in very poor physical health.
Yes.
Not just mental and spiritual health, but, you know, most are mentally or spiritually have significant deficits, but physical health as well. And so to get folks, you know, working with their hands, keeping their minds busy, but also growing in their spirit, it's such a balance that, you know, it's so easy to get out of whack and return back, I guess, to whatever addiction brought them there.
Like I mentioned earlier, we have gardens here, vegetable gardens, two really nice gardens. And one of our kind of visions down the road, when I'm more available to help with it, is that we produce much more of our own food so that the men are eating more fresh vegetables, organic, you know, healthier meals, things like that, to be able to really integrate that into part of their recovery. And it's an area where I will say we use a lot of volunteer help in the gardens. So that's one of the main areas that folks who are interested in that. We love to have folks come out, whether it's once in the spring or once in the fall, or we have some that come every week to help out. So
awesome.
It's really integral part of what we do.
I want to add that Maria, every Saturday, she usually gets one or two ladies, sometimes three, if she has a real good weekend and has a lot of help. And they usually make three or four meals on Saturday so the guys can put it in their oven during the week and just heat it up. And then they're really, that's how we have a couple of people that just volunteer and bring a meal up during the week. We have two people, but we have to prepare meals for at least 5 days a week for the guys. And so that's another big volunteer opening for anybody that wanted, you know, might have a calling to help with food or anything like that. So
I'm hearing a broad spectrum of opportunity. Chefs or wannabe chefs, gardeners and construction folk, or anyone who just, you know, maybe, you know, wants to do a little bit of everything. You swing a hammer in the morning, you flip burgers in the afternoon, something like that, you know. Awesome. I know I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit, but I'll just make a little bit of a shameless plug. We've already sent the word out to the youth here at Brook Hill United Methodist Church to see if anybody would want to just do some gardening to help, you know, when we come. The plan is for us to come on site May 5th and 6th to do some work at Crossroads. And I understand there's a building that needs some help, but maybe we're not all builders. I'm not. But I love to garden. So, I think if anybody would be interested in just getting hands on ministry, this is a great way to do it. And it's also, you all are our neighbors. And so, you know, Jesus had a lot to say about, you know, supporting neighbors and loving on our neighbors. And so, and who is our neighbor? And so we really want to continue with that. I'm not sure, maybe you can tell me, Joe, how did Brook Hill get started with Crossroads?
Well, there was a time when we weren't sure if we were going to make it. And I had one older gentleman that was coming up here pretty regularly. He was about 85 years old. He would help me every day, but that wasn't enough to get the help we needed. And I guess there was a Pastor Gary worked with the homeless, and he knew about us. And I think what Danny told me, that the team that does outreach There was a job or there was a an outreach mission that got canceled. And all of a sudden, Danny Brown showed up and Gary, and they came and talked and they said, well, we want to help you. And that was like the real, when God says, you know, I was very, at a time, I was wondering where the body of Christ was. And then God answered by sending those two up and showed me what the body of Christ was. So it really touched my heart tremendously. When people come, when you know, God is a great orchestrator, and he orchestrated that at just the right time to encourage us, as much as doing the help, it encouraged us on our journey with the Lord about what we were doing and how hard it was sometimes. And that's how it happened. And then, you know, he had 50 people come up and, you know, help me with a building. And he has been a consistent help ever since, and more of a friend than anything else. And so that's how it happened. And he's still coming, and you guys are still coming. And it's just been so encouraging that your group and the church, you know, kind of partnered with us at a critical time in our journey. Maybe they don't know that, but it was critical.
Okay. Well, it was definitely a passion that, and I'll just mention this for those who may not know, Joe is referring to the late Gary Hicks, Pastor Gary Hicks, who was an associate pastor at Brookhill United Methodist Church before I arrived, and passed away about 2 years ago. Danny Brown is the head of our volunteers and missions team at Brookhill, and continues to stay in that leadership role and pull together teams and things. He has a construction background and knows how to swing a hammer, that's for sure, you know, and he can teach anybody to swing a hammer as well. So we're just so grateful that this this passion has been instilled in so many to be the hands and feet of Christ, because I think often it means something to be able to do something tangible that we can see makes a difference in the lives of those in our community. And you all are making a difference. And we just want to partner with you and be a part of that. So thank you for that opportunity. And thank God for putting us together in such an unusual way. So I know that you mentioned the recidivism rate. I know in a lot of other programs, particularly some of the well-known ones, recidivism can be up to 85% within the first year, where folks resort back to their life before recovery. And in several cases, a couple of that I'm aware of, it was fatal, because these folks would resort back to whatever level of drugs they were using, and it was fatal. So I just wanted you to speak a little bit more, if you would, to how Crossroads helps to you know, holistically heal, so that someone can really walk away from your program and quite honestly make it in the world without having to return back to those habits.
Well, I have to say, because of where I was before I knew Christ, I've been blessed to really understand that the pull of the spiritual war that we're in, I know it. You know, that was part of what God let me experience so he could equip me for this, what I'm doing now. And to help a man have the tools, and also it's hard in a church service to help show a man what a new life is. It's a real, most of them don't think they're worthy, and they don't think that they count for much, and they've got so much pain and hurt that we have to help clear that up so they can be that new person. And so it's really walking, we're really like a family, and we, you know, there'll be guys that get impatient and won't wait on the Lord, and they might have to go out and they get beat up and then they come back. So our doors are always open. When a man relapses, I usually let him go out for 30 days. I release him and trust he's in God's hands, but then he can come back because I try to teach them. I don't try to punish them. Mm-hmm. I try to let them understand if you want a new, because when they go back out there, they're miserable. And then they see what God can do. So it's an ongoing process, and we're getting better at what we do. You know, like one of our men that I'm mentoring has been through the process, and now he's got a leadership role. Both of them have been through a certain addiction that helps them understand, you know, so we have to be patient and really realize where they've been so we can get them where Christ wants to get them. And it's really the relationship with Christ. It's not crossroads. It's not about, we're just conduits to help them understand what they can be. If I hope that makes sense.
It does. It does. And it's a very Christ-like model, honestly. You know, I think of, you know, how many times any of us have messed up, and yet Christ offers us forgiveness and welcomes us right back. Yeah. And so, you know, thank you for offering that, that model that maybe isn't as seen out there as in other areas. So let me just ask you, I guess a personal question for each of you. What impact has working at with Crossroads had on each of you personally and professionally? What's the impact been for you?
I'm going to tell you, I'm writing a book right now, and it's called Finding the Pearl on Your Freedom Journey. Mm. And there's scripture in Acts of the, the guy that goes out in the field, the merchant goes out in the field and he's searching and he sells all his property for that, whatever he finds in that field. And that's where me and Maria have been. We've sold everything we had to buy the property. And by doing that, it's opened up such a richness with the Lord. We wouldn't understand that unless we put all our cards on the table. So I think sometimes I see the more we put all our life on the line for the Lord, the more he shows us a deeper spiritual connection with him than if you're just holding back. And I think the value of what he has showed us by doing, or him letting us do, or giving us the opportunity to put everything in at Crossroads has really taken us on a spiritual journey with him that would only be possible if we weren't really going through these hard times and really experienced all this. And so I seek more from the Lord, and I'm not going to get in the way of what Maria has, but I really am really excited about where we're going and what's going on in this next generation. I wish I was able to see more of it, but I think I'm on my fourth quarter. You know, but I want to do the best I can while I'm still here.
Let me just say, some teams do their best work in their fourth quarter.
Let's get
it out there. All right.
That's great.
Maria, how about you?
Yeah, I really appreciate that question. I think for me, similar to what Joe said, I think what the Lord has shown me through being a part of this ministry and helping to build it is that it is so much bigger than anything Joe and I could do. Mm. And so it has really taught me to rely on the Lord and trust that this is his ministry. And I can let go and let him run it. You know, like, I am not responsible for making this successful. Like, this is his ministry. And so when we hit hard times or we weren't sure how things were going to go, if we're going to be able to keep going, it's like, well, Lord, this is your ministry, so you got to figure it out. You know, like, we're going to do the best we can, but if that's not enough, we really need you. You know, this is yours. And so with that has come like a greater reliance and trust on the Lord in rest, and a greater rest in my spirit for not being anxious about what's going to happen. How are we going to do this? You know, what's around the corner? Just knowing, like, God's going to be there. Whatever it is around the corner, you know, he's going to be there.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. All right. Well, thank you so much. So we talked a bit about Brook Hill and its volunteers in mission ministry. you know, is that the best way that we can support you? And how, for anyone listening here, what are some of the ways that they can, you know, if you just want to spell it out for them, ways that we can support you in your ministry?
We're going to have an open house. Is it the same? It's when they come up.
Is it the, I think it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody, and most families have somebody in their family that has some addiction or some struggle that they haven't been able to get free from. If anybody wants to learn more and try to understand what we do, we're going to have that open house. One of our biggest weaknesses of all our fundraisers, Marie and I always try to get somebody else to go up at the end of the service and do an ask. Or, you know, we're at the point where we have to build, even if it's $10 a month, or we have to build we don't have a church. We don't have people coming. So through churches like you and other churches, we have to kind of see how God surrounds us with a little bit more financial support. And that could be, like I say, $10, $5, whatever anybody could afford to be a support for what we do is really how we got to build the future. It might take 10 years. I don't know, but we really have to do, that's our weakest point, really.
Okay. Okay.
I think, like you alluded to earlier, Pastor Kathy, there's a lot of hands-on work here to do. And so we can always use volunteers, whether it's a group or a single person on the property, little building projects. Certainly helping with meals in the kitchen is another way, whether it's dropping off a meal or coming and cooking with me on a Saturday. And then during throughout the year, at Christmas time, sometimes we have folks will bring gifts for the guys or buy gifts for the children of the men who are here. You know, there's things like that too, that we've really been blessed with, things like that.
Yeah, just so you know, one of our graduates has six kids. So when we heal the dad, it heals the whole family. So it's not just the dad we're working with. Most of them have families and have kids that have been left out, and there's a horrible dysfunction that we try to help them heal. And once that healing starts taking place, it's the hope that the kids have that they can see Christ in the graduate or our student, so they can have a chance not to go through what their parents have been through. So right. There's a lot to it. It's not just one person that we're trying to heal the family with the, I call it a family curse that we try to break. So.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was visiting with you all, you talked about the number of men that had come through your program, but so over the 12 years, it was in the hundreds, right? That you had, but the impact of the success stories of those men is so much bigger than just those who had come through. It affects the community, it affects their families, it affects everything. And I just so appreciate what you're doing and how you're changing lives for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So, again, another shameless plug. Brook Hill United Methodist Church is coming to Crossroads on May 5th and 6th for work days. And so the 6th is a Saturday, so it's a perfect opportunity. If we have cooks out there that would like to come and help prepare a meal, if we have the gardeners out there, we're going to pray for good weather so we can get out there and get dirty. And even if it isn't good weather, we'll probably get out there and get dirty. And then for those who like to do the construction type things and swinging hammers, we can bring youth as young as 12. So we can bring families as well to literally help make a difference in the lives of our community. And so we invite anyone who would like to join us. You know, there's information on the Brook Hill website and also on Crossroads website as well, because of that open house that I understand is also happening on May 6th. So all those wonderful shameless plugs that I just put right in there. So
thank you.
So I wonder, would you all have any final thoughts that you would want to leave us with concerning the impact of your ministry or anything that we haven't talked about today?
One thing we finally made or finally developed some prayer cards that we will be giving out that if your ministry and the church and the people of it could keep us in prayer through our journey here. That is huge because we're trying to move a lot of things forward, and we need as many prayers as possible. Because, like I said, all this has been done by outside, one person at a time. A group comes, a person comes. We ran out of money 2 years in. We were broke totally after that. And somehow God has moved us forward. So with our health also, we need plenty of prayers.
Okay. All right. Absolutely. And you know what? I feel awful. That's what we started with, prayer in this. Yeah. And so it's easy to take it for granted, but wow, the power of prayer. I think we set it aside all too often. And so, I truly believe in the power of prayer. And so it is my honor to wrap you all in prayer as well, as we continue to move forward and continue our partnership and invite other groups. If there are other groups within our community that would are looking for some way to give back, this is a perfect opportunity to make such an impact for those in our community. And so I wanted to thank you both so much. I'll be talking to Danny Brown too as well, getting his little piece to put in here. And I'll make sure that we send you the podcast and everything. And I will see you in May.
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
Thank you so much. God bless. Take care. Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. For further information on Crossroads Freedom Center, you can go to their website. It's crossroadsfreedomcenter.org, or you can check out Brook Hill's website at bhumc.org. During this interview, I mentioned that I would be talking with Danny Brown concerning his work with Crossroads Freedom Center. I will be doing that as part of another podcast when we focus on our volunteers in mission, which includes an involvement with Crossroads Freedom Center. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. Take care. God bless.